Welcome to the Compassionate Educators Show for teachers who desire to change lives without self-sacrifice. Let's dig deep together into the skill set, mindset, and best practices you and your students need to thrive in today's schools. Now your host, Marie Cooney.
Hello and welcome to the Compassionate Educators Show. I am very excited to have Sarah Bowie here with us today. And I think you're going to find her story and her journey really fascinating. So Sarah has had many different experiences in education, including being in the gifted and talented program, homeschooling, private schooling, and even being a college student while in high school. So I think that this information is going to be extremely valuable to educators, parents, and even to students. So I urge you to share this episode with even your students who might have some similar stories as well. So welcome, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So Sarah, I would love for you to talk a little bit about where you are now, and then we'll backtrack and go back in time to your beginning experiences as a student.
Okay. So I am currently 18 years old, but I am a junior in college majoring in psychology, an honors baccalaureate degree, which has an emphasis on public health. And then I'm also doing a leadership track through that honors degree. So with these two degrees, once I graduate, I hope to get a PhD in child development and go on to be a clinician and do research on childhood trauma and secondary trauma and stuff like that. So that's really what drew me to the Compassionate Educators, because I think the message and everything that you were trying to do is really amazing. And I want to help keep pushing that message out.
Yeah. And just a little bit more about that, Sarah actually has come into the Compassionate Educator family as a compassion guide and really helping to spread the message. Sarah has put together some wonderful pieces, including taping a few of these podcast episodes and transferring it to some really fun YouTube videos. And so she has a wide array of skills and knowledge. So it's really been exciting to have her part of our mission and helping compassionate educators to spread the message in as many platforms as we can. So Sarah, I appreciate all that you've done as well.
Yeah.
So when I found out about Sarah's journey as a student, I found it so fascinating, and I knew that her story needed to get out there. And there are many different ways of educating our students. And I think we have to really be clear that every student, every child is very different. And there's not just one way. Sarah's going to really share with us how she had a multitude of different ways, different journeys, different paths, and it has all led her to this very moment in time, which, again, she's just doing some really incredible things. So Sarah, let's take the time machine back and go back in time to your elementary years. Can you tell us a little bit more about where that journey began?
Yeah. So I think around third or fourth grade, I don't have the best memory. So it was one of those years. My younger sister had just started school, and my parents were looking at having my sister skip a grade. In my particular school district, in order to skip a grade, the rule is that you have the IQ test and be placed in the gifted and talented program. And my parents had always been kind of leery of doing that because they had seen some things with the gifted and talented program where they were worried about the social aspect and maybe us getting too big of a head, because my parents have always pushed that we need to be humble. They didn't want us to think we were better than other people. But at the point that my sister was getting placed in the gifted program, they wanted to make sure that they were evaluating me as well, because they didn't want me to think that I was less than her, or that I wasn't smart because I wasn't in that program. So they had both of us evaluated, and we both got placed in the gifted program. And at that time, it was a very small program because it was a smaller school and lower socioeconomically. So it was just a small gifted program. I was the only one in my particular grade. So we were kind of all lumped together that year, where like fifth graders were in with me, but so was like my younger sister was in the same gifted class as me, which was kind of strange. But then once I got to fifth grade, there were two other girls who were in the gifted program with me. So it was still pretty small, but at that point in time, there were a couple other people my age.
Nice. And so you mentioned the social aspect. Did you have any challenges in navigating those dynamics?
For me, when I initially got placed into the gifted program, my third grade year, they had evaluated a bunch of other students who were in enrichment programs, but did not test high enough to be placed in the gifted program. So at the point that I was put in that program, there kind of became some tension because a few of the students who realized what they had been tested for were a little upset that I had made it and they had not, which kind of created some tension because I was never like bragging about it. But when you get pulled out of class, it's pretty obvious. So I think for that year, when emotions were a little bit high from the students who didn't make it, it caused some issues socially. But once I got into middle school and high school, it wasn't as big of a problem.
So I think that's a concern too, that some parents and some teachers is making those changes because of the social aspect. And so do you have any recommendations, any suggestions for navigating that and making it a little bit easier on those students who are choosing a different path and who have qualified for a different path?
Yeah, I think it's very important to be considering the individual needs. I've gotten to see my sister's journey and my journey, and my sister and I are very different. Like if you were to meet us, you wouldn't realize we were related. So it's been interesting to see both of our experiences because we're so different, but it's been beneficial for both of us. So I definitely think that considering the individual is important because the way my parents approached my gifted program was very different from the way my sister experienced the program because she had different needs from me. So I think it's important to consider those individual needs and to consider maturity, especially when you're like having a student skip a grade like my sister did, considering their age and their relationships and their social emotional learning as well as their educational learning is all very important when deciding if you're going to make those big changes.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I know that you mentioned to me earlier that once you transitioned into middle school, you ended up skipping a grade and that ended up being a really valuable experience for you socially. Can you speak more a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I skipped a grade. When I went into middle school, I switched to private school. So all the way through elementary school, I was in public school. But for different reasons, my parents decided that going into a big public middle school wasn't the best option for me. So I switched to a very small private school. It was about 85 students, 6th through 12th grade. And when I went in, my class was about 6 or 8 students. So it was very small. And they were very good at pushing me with the English and history aspect. But with math and science, I was quite a bit ahead because I was doing pre-algebra in 4th and 5th grade. And they didn't start you on that until 8th grade at that particular private school. So I was very accelerated in that. My family ultimately decided that we were going to have me skip a grade while I was at that private school. I skipped a grade and that was super helpful. It actually helped me socially because I've always been quite an old soul and I get along with adults better than I get along with people my own age most of the time. Being around those students that were just a little bit older kind of helped me understand them a little better because they were more on my interest and maturity level. It was really good for me, but I ended up going back, unskipping a grade when I went back to public school for high school. I think a big reason for me doing that was because I had grown up with the same set of people. That's where like considering the social aspect is important too, because I was being challenged academically as a person who was a year ahead. But once I switched back, it's hard to explain, but it was important because then I was with the same people. So you have to consider all sorts of aspects when skipping a grade.
Yeah, it sounds like it was definitely a big decision and that you and your parents really took a lot into account when making those decisions and truly putting that individualized attention into what your needs were, both academically and socially. I really love that you're bringing all of this together because they're all really great pieces to consider. I am curious, as far as being in the gifted and talented program or demonstrating abilities that are academically above grade level in a classroom, I've seen a lot of different ways that this is done. And one of the ways is the students, once they finish their work, they're giving other kinds of tasks or they're led to be helpers for others. Could you speak a little bit about what you've seen works and what doesn't in that capacity?
Yeah, I've kind of experienced all of that. I've had some teachers who their idea of enrichment or gifted programs is just to give us additional work. And I don't think that's the most beneficial way to approach a gifted student or even just a student who's advanced, but not in a gifted program. Because when you're giving them additional work, that just makes the student not want to excel. Because why would I want to do 5 extra worksheets if I can just be lazy and work super slow on my first one? So that definitely encourages students to kind of slack off because it's not worth it to them. I think when you're approaching that type of program, giving them more meaningful work is really beneficial. I had teachers do this in different ways. Some of them would let me kind of take the reins and do like a cool project on something I was interested in, or like design a video or write a script, doing something more creative. Other teachers, something I really liked is they would give me a packet of puzzles. And they were little logic puzzles that were just fun and not boring, just worksheets, but something that would challenge me. There's lots of different ways you can do that, but each one should just be individualized to the student.
Yeah, those are really great suggestions. And like you said, it's really unmotivating if we are just giving those students more busy work. And like you said, we have a lot of teachers who get really frustrated because they know that their student is capable of so much more, yet sometimes that student, as you said, does slack off, and we really need to look deeper into why that is, and is it the student's perception of, if I do well, if I get this done faster, or if I do really well on it, am I just going to be given more work that I don't want to participate in? So that's a really great point that you bring up, really individualizing it, asking the student, having that conversation with the student about what would you enjoy doing? What would make this more meaningful to you?
Yeah, definitely talking to the student is super helpful because I know the things that I enjoyed doing as a part of my gifted program was very different than the things that my peers enjoyed or that my sister enjoyed. So talking to each individual student is very helpful because every gifted student is different.
Absolutely. And I have another thought as well as to something that I've seen advanced students being asked to do, and that is to help others in their classroom who maybe aren't as far ahead in their work. Having those advanced students helping to kind of teach the material to other students. And I would love to hear your perspective on that as well.
For me, that's something that I got to do quite a bit of, especially in math, because I would finish it so quickly. That was something that I enjoyed, but I don't think that's something that should be done with every single student. Because for me, it was super beneficial because it kind of taught me how to teach. And I work as a tutor, so it's kind of like given me that ability to early on develop those skills. But I think it's really important to consider both the needs of the student who's doing the teaching and the needs of the students that are getting taught by their peers, because you want to make sure that there's not a social void where the student like thinks they're better than the other person or messes with the hierarchy. And it's also important to make sure that the student is actually able to effectively convey that information. Because I know a lot of people that are extremely smart, smarter than me, but they can't teach that material. And so it's important to make sure that they're not just capable of doing it themselves, but that they can help someone else do it.
That's a great point. And again, you've really brought about the message of speaking with those students, about having an individualized focus on what's going to be most beneficial. And that comes into play here as well, because we want students such as the student that you were, who really wants that opportunity, to potentially have that opportunity if it's a good fit. And if it, as you said, socially also makes sense, but then not forcing those students who maybe are achieving at really high levels to force them into that role, into that capacity, if they're just not comfortable with it, or they don't have those types of teaching skills and able to explain the material, because then that's just going to be really frustrating for everybody all around.
Yeah, definitely. I don't envy teachers because they have a very difficult job with 20 some students in their classroom, and every student's so different. So it's really important to just do your best to try to get to know each individual student and meet their needs. But I totally understand that that's a really hard job to do as well, because you have so many students and they all need so many different things.
And just your acknowledgement of that shows how much wisdom you have, not just in math, but just in your ability to see different perspectives. And so again, your contribution to this discussion is so valuable for teachers, because sometimes it can be really difficult for students even who are advanced or who are in gifted and talented programs to sometimes express what their needs are, or sometimes there's students who they so much want to please their teachers and please their parents that if they're being given the busy work, they don't necessarily speak up and say, hey, this just isn't effective and this is really not bringing about the best that can be brought about within what I have to offer. So for us as educators to step back and listen to your story and take this and truly bring it into our classroom and help our students is truly invaluable. So I do thank you so much, Sarah, for having this conversation. And I don't want to end quite yet, though. I do have a couple more questions for you, but I just want to acknowledge how valuable this is. So we went through the elementary and middle school years, and there's one more point that I want to touch upon, because when you had told me that you were 18 and a junior in college, I was really taken aback because I wanted to know, how did you do this? And
I guess technically I'm a senior now. I just finished a semester of classes. So technically I'm a senior. I'm
18. That's true. Congratulations again. Yeah. And so I know that part of your ability to have all of these college credits at such a young age, we have to also examine the next part of your journey after middle school. So let's take that time machine back and go into your high school years.
Yeah. So after I was in private school for middle school, my family and I had a big conversation, and it was a really tough decision because I had so many good friends in private school, and the social aspect, I loved it. It was a very unique experience. We had work Wednesdays. So Wednesdays, we didn't do school. We did like community service, which just like everything about that experience, like socially, was really beneficial. So it was a very emotional conversation. But after I finished my eighth grade year, I had a discussion with my parents, and we were talking about my educational experience and what we wanted me to get out of high school. What we ultimately decided was that the private school wasn't going to be able to challenge me to the extent that I needed, because at that point I had pretty much maxed out their math curriculum. I was ready for trig and then calculus going into freshman year. So it was important that I needed somewhere that could challenge me in math and science. We ultimately decided that I needed to switch back to public school. Through high school, up until my senior year, I was in public school. That's kind of where I started to have the opportunity to take college classes. And once I did that, I was in regular public school classes, and I was in the gifted and the honors courses. But with the math, I still felt the need to do something a little bit above and beyond. So my family ended up deciding that we were going to use my IEP to allow me to do individualized math instead of in the big class, because that was where I was really excelling. And so I did online algebra 2 and trig. And then I ended up at the beginning of my sophomore year, I started calculus, a community college. So those community college classes was where I really started with the college courses.
Yeah. And so you were able to complete how many college credits while you were in high school?
I was able to do 72. Freshman and sophomore year, I was taking small courses. So I did general psychology and then I did calculus my freshman and sophomore year. But then my junior and senior year, I was full-time in college. In my state, I'm from Kansas. And in my state, there's a program called the Kansas Academy of Mathematics and Science. And it's an early college program for Kansas residents where the Kansas government, I think they pay for up to 64 credit hours of college credit. And you go full-time, you live on a college campus with a bunch of other high schoolers, and you do research and you go to college courses full-time. And so that's where my junior year, I took a ton of college credits. And then because it was such a math and science-based program, and I'm a psychology and public health major, so those courses like the engineering, physics, and calculus 3, those weren't the most beneficial for me. So that was another tough conversation where my parents and I ultimately decided that I was going to come home and be homeschooled for my senior year. And then I did community college classes for my senior year.
Your story too really speaks to how important it is for families to have those conversations and to truly dig deep into what their child needs. I love that they brought you into that conversation and they weren't making those decisions on their own, that you really were working together as a team to decide what would be the most beneficial for you, and having, again, that whole team approach. Truly, just in the conversation with you, you sound so empowered by every decision, every step that was made.
Yeah, I think it really helped. My mom's a teacher, so I think her knowledge of the education system really helped her serve as an advisor in that advisory role. And my dad, he really helped me push, and they really served as my advocate and my advisor. But one thing I think they really did right was they empowered me to make those decisions myself. Like when I was in public school, I sat in on all of my individualized education plan, IEP meeting, and I was there when people were making those decisions. And I think them including me in those decisions was really important in helping me grow, but also just helping me take responsibility for my own education, because I knew I was making those decisions and that pushed me to work harder because I was empowered to make those choices myself.
Yeah, that's so amazing. I love it. I absolutely love that. And it also, though, it does make me think about students who, you know, maybe they don't have the strong advocates in place, or maybe it feels like those students who are advanced or who are gifted and talented, they're not really given as much attention because there's so many students that as teachers, maybe we're just working really hard on getting certain students up to grade level, that those who are already at grade level and above, we think they're fine. They're fine. So I'm curious if you have any thoughts in speaking towards, I guess that's kind of a twofold question, but the first point being how to advocate for those students, making sure that we are given proper attention to empowering the students in achieving their needs and their goals and their dreams.
I think that's a really valid point to bring up. As I've gone through my educational journey, I've been around a lot of students with different parents, and they've definitely had a very different experience with gifted. I definitely feel like, at least in my district, the gifted and enrichment services are biased. I feel like people with more money or parents who work in the education system tend to be the ones that end up with more of the services. And I think that is really sad because it kind of perpetuates that cycle where it like continues where those people become more disadvantaged. So I think as a teacher, it's really important not to just look at who those students are, but what their needs and interests are. And also considering that they may be displaying their giftedness or their talent in a different way than wealthier student maybe, and trying to recognize that. Because in my district, I found that a majority of the people that were placed in the gifted system had parents who had asked for them to be evaluated because it's really expensive to evaluate a student. So I think they were only evaluating the people that requested it. And then that's where the parents who were heavily advocating can have their students get those advantages but the parents who don't know what the resources are and what their student could be given aren't able to advocate for that, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. And it truly does perpetuate that inequality between those who are receiving those services and those who are not. So I think as compassionate educators, just to have that awareness that there are those inequities and what can we do in our role to help bridge that gap a bit is really, really important. And I know that there's some work in some districts being done, but again, sometimes it kind of goes to the wayside because we're constantly in this mode of how to get students up to grade level versus those students who are at grade level, how can we help them, you know, achieve even more? So there's many different aspects and it's not an easy conversation and there's no simple way. And if there was, I think we would already be doing it. But again, sometimes just having that awareness and really being that voice sometimes as teachers, we have to be that voice because their parents might not even know that something like this exists. And so sharing that information, really bringing that to light and, you know, maybe even this episode, sharing this episode with others, with other educators, with parents, with high school students can really help to bridge that and to bring about more conversation into this topic.
Yeah, definitely. Having that conversation is really what's going to help people know what the resources are so that they can advocate for their students.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Sarah, you know, I do have just one final question, and I hope it doesn't catch you too off guard, but I'm very curious. Do you have any regrets? Do you have any regrets looking back?
That's a really good question. I have had a very unique educational experience. I've had so many different types of teachers and just academic settings that I've been in, and they've all been so different. And this is something that when I was going through my college applications last year, it was something I really reflected on because I think these experiences that I've had have really made me and kind of helped me discover who I am. So I don't think I have any regrets. I definitely think some of the choices that we have made through my educational experience were kind of odd, or they weren't like the traditional path, but I've learned something unique from each of my experiences. I don't think I would change it because I think they've just created me and made me the unique person that I am. But I don't know that I would prescribe the way that I did it to another person, because I don't know that it would work for someone else. I think it worked for me in a weird way.
Yeah. And again, I think this whole conversation is so reflective of looking at the individual child and what is needed and what is going to work best. And I love that you bring in unique aspect and you have a better sense of who you are at the age of 18 than some 30 and 40 and 50 year olds that I know. So again, just those empowered conversations and allowing you to blossom in the direction that feels right to you. And if we can take just that lesson from that conversation and apply it to the children that we work with, my goodness, we are going to have a generation of children that are more secure in their own uniqueness, who feel empowered, who are motivated to learn. And it can just be so incredible, valuable to utilize the resources that we have to accommodate everyone's own individual strengths and perspectives and what their dreams are. So again, Sarah, I have loved this conversation with you. You bring so much value and wisdom to it. So is there anything else that you would like to add?
Not that I can think of. I think we've pretty much covered everything.
Great. Well, Sarah, I thank you so much for being here. And if anyone has any questions for Sarah, she is in our Compassionate Educators Facebook group. So you can find her there. And she has some really fun and exciting opportunities this summer. So she might not be as available, but she is there. We can't wait to hear more from you, Sarah, as you continue to just grow and evolve and navigate this journey that you're on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I think it's really cool that people will get to learn from my experience.
All right. Well, thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, bye.
If you would like more information, resources, and inspiration to be a life-changing teacher without self-sacrifice, I invite you to head on over to our Facebook group, Compassionate Educators, where you can also connect with more educators who are striving to make a difference. And if you liked this episode of the Compassionate Educators Show, please head on over to Apple Podcasts to rate, review, and share it with a friend. As always, I so appreciate you being here, and I send love and light your way.